Yes. So Asha wanted to talk with us, Rashi. So the beginning of V in Bamidbar has the following, and it's not really originally Rashi, but Rashi obviously quotes it from the Gemara. But sure, you can know it from Rashi, that's good too. Ve'ele toldot Aharon and Moshe. Biyom diber Adonai et Moshe Bahar Sinai. These are the children of Moshe and Aharon. So all of that is totally normal. Except what's not normal is the rest of it, which is Ve'elish mod b'nei Aharon, Abachor Nadav Avihu, Elazar v'Tamar, Elish mod b'nei Aharon, Akohanim, Ashochem, Asher
Me'ilei Yadam l'Chahein. And also, it maybe would make sense if Moshe didn't have kids. And then you say, oh, here are the children of Aaron and Moshe, and most Aaron's children, it's not for both of them.
Right.
Moshe had his own kids.
Good, right. So what Asher knows is correct. This is a very odd tradition in Chazal, because what Chazal says, and Rashi quotes it here, is the obvious problem is, wait a second, you said these are the children of Moshe and Aaron, and then you go on to only quote the children of Aaron. And it's not like Moshe didn't have kids. Moshe did have kids. Right? So what's Chazal's solution?
The students in the other thing.
Reveinu mazkir al-bnei Aaron v'ningru toldot Moshe, lefi shelimdan Torah. Melamed, shekolam melamed et ben chavero Torah, ma'ale alav ha-katuv, kilu yelado.
No, that's really interesting because like yelado comes with a lot of ramifications.
Oh yes, it does. Okay, so let's talk about what this means. So first of all, let's try to figure out where this comes from. Where does this idea come from that anyone who teaches someone Torah it's as if they gave birth to them? What does that mean?
Your father is chai to teach you Torah, or to teach any given child. They're, any given person is chai of. Or is their father is highest
to teach? Ah, see, okay. So, right, so I think there's a lot of possibilities. So Usher picked a possibility, which is that the key to this midrash is not the nature of parenthood, but rather the fundamental nature of teaching Torah in the parental context. Right? And therefore, because teaching Torah is so intrinsically linked to, right, it's more about Torah than it is about, right? That's what you're saying.
About parenthood.
Right, no, no.
It so happens to be that when it comes to Torah and children, a lot of it is parenting.
No, no, for sure. Right, no, I think it's very interesting. This is what I wanted to talk about. I don't have, like, I mean, I have certain ideas, but this is actually an idea I hadn't thought of. But I think you're right, right? One possible way of understanding this Midrashic tradition is that it's not about the meaning of the word ben or something like that, right? Obviously, a related phrase here would be, right, tamidim harim kibanim, right? That would be a related statement of Chazal. But what Asher is suggesting is that the primary Torah teachers in halacha, in Tanakh, and whatever, is always parents. Give me a proof for that.
Well, so I was first thinking...
Pretty easy. Like, yeah, okay, good, very good. Right, meaning sort of the paradigmatic teaching moment of the Seder is one between parents and children. Yeah. And in Shema, when we talk about teaching, it's constantly v'shinantem levonecha.
Also in general,
right?
Not just with Torah.
Correct, in general. Yeah, in general, and definitely in Torah. Chazal go farther, right, and say that there's even another level which is captured if a grandparent teaches. I call melamed ben bino Torah ki'ilu kiblo mehar Sinai, and Gemara in Kiddushin. Right, that if you get to the point where you can teach your grandchildren Torah, it's, right, you're basically recreating the Sinai experience. So based on that, what Asher is suggesting is that this is telling you that, look, in the end of the day, definitional to the parent-child relationship is teaching Torah, and therefore anyone who does that is at some level channeling that aspect of parenthood.
So
right?
maybe Chazal's not trying to say that it's halachically their child. It's not... Right, Aaron's sons aren't Moshe's children. They're not his children. But it's not necessarily he takes on a parenting role by teaching them, but that by teaching them, he is doing the parent job. It just so happens to be that they're not his kids.
Right. Meaning, right, that's what you're getting at, right? It's not that they're kids as much as, right, it's as if the parent here, it's kilu yilado, right? Not, I mean, Usher's arguing essentially, whether he realizes it or not, that this is somewhat distinct from the claim that tamidim areim kibanim. Right? Like Chazal's statement that children, students are like children, that's not exactly what's going on. You focus on the word kasher, kilu yilado. It's on the act that you're doing. What you're doing is a parental act. Right? Whether that transforms them into your children is a different question, but that's not the focus of this line. Now, that's definitely one of the right focuses, but it happens to be that I think there's good reason to think that it is going the further step and saying that this is another way of saying that Talmidim Hareim Kibanim, because the pasuk it's playing on is Ve'elas Toldot Aaron Moshe, right? It is on the result, right? In that sense, I find the Rambam to be very helpful, because the Rambam in the Mernevuchim, in the first Chelek, when he goes through all his definitions, right, he notes that there's the pshat of the word ben, which is child, but as the Rambam normally does, there's the first level, and then there's all the levels that have it, that become part of the Hebrew language that are expanded from it. And he argues that ben, right, one level is literally your biological child, but then there's another notion of ben of being the person who associates with you and what you believe, right? We use it in the context of cities, a ben, right, a ben here, right? That's not a child of, that's the person who is associated with the city, who came from the city, but it wasn't born, right? That's already an expansion of it. And in that sense, right, ben can be more.
You might say like, Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael.
Well, that's the house of.
Right, but as in, it's not.
His
it's
house,
not
correct.
It's not necessarily connected to Rabbi Shmuel. It's not necessarily Rabbi
correct,
Shmuel.
Exactly. And
someone who's connected to
him. And, you know, I've always thought that this is really the machloket in the Gemara, right? The Gemara is the machloket in Kiddushin, whether we are considered banim lamakom even when we don't keep the Torah. Right?
Meaning, like, are you considered a ben year if you live in a city but you don't keep the Torah? Or?
Are you a ben of God?
Ah.
Are we banim lamakom? Lamakom.
Ah,
the omnipresent.
That makom,
right.
Sure.
Banim lamakom. What's the machloket? Right? I think it's this machloket. Is which type of ben, when the Torah describes us as banim of God, which ben is it talking about? Is it playing on the literal one, which is saying we're biological children of God, in which case, what's essential to that type of child? No. That it's inalienable. Right, your actual child is your child, whether or not he follows in your ways, or we're using the metaphorical use of ben, which is all that exists is then following your ways.
How are you going to use the literal sense of ben?
It's not literal, but meaning how close, right? Which model of ben are we modeling it on?
Okay.
Right, the direct one, right, or the indirect one? One of which requires following away, one which doesn't, right? So I think that's the second aspect here, right? Is that ben is sometimes used to mean child, and sometimes it means the person who follows in your ways, who identifies with you, and in that sense, Talmidim Hareim Kibanim. Obviously, you didn't give birth to them. Right? Now, there are halachic implications of this. Right? Obviously, this is part of the reason that every time you get you put these in conjunction, like, just Avedat Aviv, Avedat Rabo. Right? If your father lost an object and your Rav done, which one do you do first?
Okay.
Right? Meaning we pair them
because those are going to be the most comparable.
Exactly, right? There are halachic implications to this as well. Now, if you look though, just quickly look at the Mefarshim here, you'll see that there are other ways of taking this pasuk. So, for example, the Rav Sanjagon says, Toldot Aaron and Moshe, and this is fascinating, Hityachasud Ha'am Shel Aharon Moshe. Now, what does that mean? That's a bit odd. Yes.
Their connection?
Yeah. So the footnoter, I think this is Chevelle, I'm not sure. He says, Klomar, Pasuk ze musav al hamifkad shenifkedu la'el, v'akavana al kol Yisrael, k'lo yitachen she musav al lekaman, k'lo n'parashu el shemot b'nei Aaron. He says, the answer to this Pasuk is that it's not going on the next Pasuk, it's going on the previous ones, that at some level, all the Jews are the Toldet Moshe V'Aharon, because they counted them, they cared for them, right? This is a culminating pasuk. Now, that obviously doesn't work for the Parshiot, because this is the start of a new Parsha, right? But Rav Sanjagon solves it by putting it, right? That's a
Even then, how do you explain Nadav Avihu?
It seems that in order to get to this, Rav Sanjagon reads this as the end of a unit rather than the beginning, even though in Parshia break, mm-hmm. It's actually the beginning of a unit, he reads it as the end of the unit, of the census,
okay.
Right? That these are the children of Moshe and Aaron, meaning all the Jewish people, right? These were. Now, that's a fascinating thing, but it's a very hard read, right? It's a very, very hard read in the pasuk.
He's skipping on.
It's very weird. No, for sure, it's very, very odd. So let's just quickly look what other mepharshim say, and then we'll finish. Right. So the Ibn Ezra says, "Hatam shlohu lidu b'nehem lo sifu bekarov me'asara chadashim kasher diber Hashem Moshe Bar Sinai ba'otol itkaper matei egel ad nivchar shevet Levi v'amar Hashem Moshe akrev matei Levi." Gam parashat vani ine lakachti. Right, so he thinks that this goes. That this somehow seems to relate. Because right, they didn't have more children. He thinks this goes more on what comes a few psukim later, meaning lazy. Right? That Ela told them, Masha'aram, like this is their tribe.
So now we're saying that even though Moshe didn't have a ben, we're going to use Tolda, the same way that we said ben can be a literal son or generally connected to. Now Tolda can mean either your literal generation or the people that you are connected to.
Yeah, it's a very weird reading.
And then you're going to say that the specific people that Moshe and Aaron are connected to, and for some reason we're going to specify it.
Bnei Levi.
I'm sorry, Bnei Levi.
Right, because that's what comes next.
Bnei Yisrael,
what he's doing is because the rest, because the next are all about Levi, and that's why he's saying this. Right, because Moshe, right, Navadam and Avihu, that's just the beginning of the census of Levi. Also weird. The Rashbam says, Tchila mana toldot Yisrael, v'achar kach toldot ha-kohanim, v'achar kach toldot ha-viyim. V'ata mona toldot Aaron, v'toldot Moshe lefaneinu am ha-levi'im. Right, he says the same thing. He says that the order of this is Yisrael, Kohanim, Levi'im, right? And basically it's Toldot Aaron Moshe. Aaron's children are the meaning it's not really the way the Rashbam clarifies it is that it doesn't mean the sons of Aaron. It means the tribe of Aaron and the tribe of Moshe. Right? And it happened to be there were no other Kohanim except for his actual sons. Right? But the
first.
Right. But the organization of this parish is really these are the this is the so this seems to be what the Ben Ezra was getting, but what the Rashbam says a little bit more clearly. And he says, and that's why, Toldot Moshe Lenu, Amliim, Kedichnig, Lekat, Mishpachat Amrami. It's going on the next Tukim, when we talk about Kahat, the family of Amram, right? Zehu Moshe Baron, Uvanav, Ashikrol, Shevet Levi. Right, so Rashbam and Ibn Ezra both said that the simple pshat here is that it doesn't mean children. It means like the tribe of. Right, the tribe of the Kohanim and the tribe of the Levim, right, that's what comes next. It happens to be that it sounds like it means children, only because Aaron's tribe is only his children at this point. Right, but it won't always be. And that's really what it means here. Right, Ramban quotes Rashi. Does he add anything? And I don't think he does. So he quotes both. He both quotes Rashi's tradition, and then he says, "V'toldot Moshe Mishpachat Hamrami Asher Yazkir Limata." That is going on, right? Mishpachat Hamrami, right? Right. Well, or even more specifically, his family, right? Meaning Mishpachat Amram. Toldot Aaron Moshe is the Mishpachat of Amram.
How much?
Because in Chamishi, that's
how much. How much Levi? How much? How many Levim are there outside of Mishpachat Amram?
Well, that's the whole point. The next paragraph is the census of all the different families, right? That's the whole point. Then, right after.
Why would you lead into that? Perhaps.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. But this is leading into the discussion of that, and he thinks it goes specifically on Amram. So either it's on all of Levi, or it's even more specifically on his family. We'll just finish up what we have here. Chizkuni says, doesn't really say, fine. He focuses on a different part of the pasuk. Svarno also seems to focus on Shevet Levi. Right, and just says, yeah, Nadav and Avihu happened to be part of it, but the real point is Levi. Right, so that seems to be all the Parshanim who want to go more pshat and avoid this seem to be taking Toldot not to mean children. Right? They mean the tribe of or something like that, and that's, you know, their solution. The Rasag is still, I think, the weirdest, right? That it's the culminating pasuk of Yisrael rather than the beginning of Levi, at least.
Okay. If you're willing to accept this is an intro for the counting of the Levi and the Kohanim thing, it's not so hard.
Correct, but Rasag is breaking from the Parsha break.
Yeah, he's drawing the line a little bit.
Correct, but the problem is it's against the Parsha breaks, right? Right, meaning, this is the beginning of a new parsha rather than the end of an old one, right?
I'm saying by being the introduction to a new one, it is also a
thing. No, I'm just saying in terms of how the parsha break up, like the breaks in the Torah. It's the beginning of the unit, not the end. right? The end of the previous unit. But it's weird, because I'll just say, it's weird if that's what he means, just because the previous pasuk. Look, the previous pasuk was, right? The previous pasuk was, Vayasu b'nei Yisrael kachal asher tzivah adonai et Moshe, kein chanu l'dik lehem v'chein asau ishmer chotav aved avotav. Right? It sounds like the end of a unit, right? It doesn't need another end, right? Okay, anyways. So those are different possibilities of what this pasuk means, both on what the Midrashic tradition means and what the Pshat tradition might mean.
And also
Rav Sach again, which is, who knows what to do with it.